Good evening to you, or should I say good afternoon? I'm in a warped time zone here. This is Lounges. You're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio on 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Today on Midwest Beat, we're going to talk to not one, not two, not three, but six guests. That's right. We're going to squeeze them all in. We've got Dan Navarro, Ellis Paul, Bridget Purdy. We'll have Liz Mandeville popping on as well. And in studio with me, we've got Eric and Char. So we're going to have a lot of music as we talk about a topic that's affecting music everywhere, COVID-19. How did they survive? What are they doing? Is there a silver lining to it? We'll find out when we talk to these great musicians after your headlines. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Lakeshore Public Radio. On the dial at 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it, and today we've got lots of people making music. And you might say, how are they doing that, Tom? Because it's COVID-19. Everyone's supposed to be secluded. Well, that doesn't stop real artists and real music. And we're going to find out a little bit today on how some of my favorite singer-songwriters and touring musicians are surviving in the era of COVID. Today's topic, how to survive and how to utilize the downtime caused by COVID-19. We're going to have Dan Navarro calling in, Ellis Paul, Bridget Purdy, and Liz Mandeville. But first, in studio with us, we've got Eric Lambert and Char. Eric and Char have been very busy doing different streaming concerts like so many musicians have to keep the music alive, to keep their name in front of the public, and to keep their fans satisfied. Because as I always say, music is medicine. I've been saying that for weeks now on this show because there's something about the magic of music that even if you're locked in your house, it can free your soul. Some of today's guests are going to debut for the very first time on radio new songs written during and inspired by the COVID pandemic and current civil unrest that's going hand in hand as things are just getting crazy in America and the world. Protesting in the streets, mask wearing, it's a little bit, it's a lot of bit out of normal, and we're going to find out how the musicians are dealing with it. Eric and Char, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks always for having us on.
We just saw each other not too long ago. You were in here to perform stuff from your new album. And at that time, your album was supposed to be due out, and you wound up postponing it until mid-September. We're almost to September. It doesn't look like COVID's going away, at least not in the very next few weeks. So are you going to postpone that new album, Beating the Odds, again, or are you going to finally let us have it?
No, it looks like we're going to push through with it and get it out to new ears and... You know, I had considered waiting until the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned to Carrie that, what are we going to do in September? We can't tour, we can't promote, we can't do anything. And onto that subject, she said, well, what are you going to do in January?
Right.
Well, it's here to stay, I do believe, for a while. And it's definitely affecting how we do things.
It's insane how much has changed in a few months since you guys were here.
Overnight.
It's like it's a different world, a different dimension. I feel like we're living in the bizarro world of Superman and DC Comics. It's like the alternate universe is here, and somehow I missed the train. We've got COVID. It's started to subside. Now it looks like it's coming back. We have rioting in the streets. We have racial issues. We have civil unrest. We have civil rights that's taking people against people. I mean, we are sitting on the precipice of insanity. I mean, people against people, the government against the people, the government against the government, medical doctors against medical doctors. It's like nobody can find a common ground at this point.
It's big changes.
Eric, you grew up in my era. I mean, you remember the 60s and the civil rights marches and things. There was a lot that was accomplished. It doesn't seem like we're accomplishing anything except creating more chaos right now.
It seems very chaotic. And with the loss of John Lewis, who's going to say things that make sense?
That's the thing. Back in the 60s, there were leaders that stepped forward and made sense and made, you know, that would actually get people to listen and direct them. And it seemed cohesive. You may not have agreed with all their philosophies, but at least you could respect the fact that they were making just points. Today, it just seems like no matter who you talk to, it's a different perspective. And that's scaring me more than anything.
And there's a lot of anger and a lot of fear.
There is a lot of anger. From road rage to people that, as a retailer, I get people, I say, you know, you're welcome to come to the store. Could you please put on some non-latex gloves just so you can go through the records without having to clean every record after every guest? And 99.9% are fine with it. But I had one guy go off on me about a week ago. He didn't have to do this. I said, well, then you need to leave my store. And he got angry. And I've had a friend that's in the gas station business. She's a manager. And she said people are just getting threatening over a mask. I mean, I'm not comfortable wearing one myself, but I will. It's not like it's, you know, you're not handcuffing yourself. I mean, a mask is a mask. Why is there so much anger?
Because of the unsure. Everybody's unsure what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on, so that creates a lot of fear.
Okay, that makes sense.
Fear of the unknown is a real thing, that's for sure.
That is true. And it seems like every day we're getting a different report from somebody. So on to the topic at hand. COVID resulted in sheltering in place, as they called it, quarantine. Musicians were not allowed to play anywhere publicly. And this is from the local guy on up to the touring shed, you know, shed guys. It was weird to see everybody all of a sudden equalized. They were all brought to the same level. You as a traveling, touring, recording artist on a regional level, and then you get someone like Bon Jovi, for instance, or Rolling Stones, who were also told they can't tour and they can't do things. So how did you guys survive? I know, like many, you were doing the streaming concerts. Was that satisfactory to you guys, and was it satisfactory to the fans, and did the virtual tip jars actually help keep you afloat?
Absolutely so. You know, early on, it was a little bit more of a new thing, and then I do believe that as the weeks went on, you know, you could watch hundreds of streamed shows a day, you know, and perhaps some of the novelty wore off. But early on, we were certainly getting very generous tips, you know, via PayPal, and it certainly helped keep the lights on. But
has it slowed down now?
It has slowed down. Yeah, I know we've gotten away from doing the concert thing to where I've been doing a lot of teaching stuff.
Okay. Virtual,
just to kind of separate from the pack.
Okay.
You know, I have a Monday thing called Monday Guitar Tip Live that we shoot at home in the studio. And it's just an attempt to be a little bit different, you know, and, and to also provide some useful content.
Now, you still have the TrueFire.com flat picking with Eric?
Is that still going? Shooting a lot of videos for TrueFire. At TrueFire.com, the channel is called Flat Picking with Eric Lambert, and we have over 100 videos now demonstrating how to play fiddle tunes at different levels and creating solos for bluegrass standards and things like that. It's a very useful channel, and it's very stay-at-home priced, man. It's $10 a month, 24/7.
Hey, can't beat that. And the Facebook one, those are streaming songs. Those are just virtual tips, correct? If you feel inclined to tip, you tip. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah, if you don't, you don't. Now, Shar and I did one early that was very successful, and we had a great time doing it. How do you feel about that, babe?
I miss the energy of the people. That, to me, just enhances everything. That enhances everything so much is just the energy of the people. I mean, I do mind staying home. I don't like it. We're playing at the Mason Jar tomorrow, and I'm looking really forward to it because I need people. I need the energy. And people's energy is weird right now. So, you know, it's kind of like I'm swaying with that because people are intense right now. And and I understand and I get it, but I'm really looking forward to being in front of some people. You know, I don't know, you know, today was that opening day or whatever. I can't imagine how those baseball players are without the fans. I mean, how do you ramp up yourself?
Right.
That way and not have all that energy behind you. You know, I mean, it takes a lot more on an individual basis to ramp up yourself to perform that way.
Well, you can see on Facebook, you know, little hearts and collapse and all the little commentary, but it's not the same as hearing
performing.
That applause.
Mm, absolutely.
Now, one of the things that so many musicians have done during this last 4 or 5 months is they've kind of reflected on their career. They've reflected on their music. They've kept busy. They've woodshedded and created some new music, some inspired by being locked in and some inspired by the topical things we just discussed. And some have no relation at all other than they've got free time to do it. So how have you guys been occupying your time creatively?
I've started practicing the guitar again.
Okay.
You know, you do that for many, many years, and you finally begin to experience a little bit of success in your chosen field. And I didn't realize how much time I'd spent in a moving vehicle. And I believe that I began to spend more time in a moving vehicle than I did doing the thing that I love to do. So having time to practice the guitar has been real eye-opening and real satisfying because I'm becoming a better guitar player. And we had a busy year set up, you know, and we were going to spend a lot of time in that moving vehicle.
Right.
So it's an eye-opener that I can go back and become a better guitarist.
Now, last time we talked, you had focused so much on guitar, and you said now you were focusing on being a songwriter, and now you're kind of reverting back to practicing the guitar, but still focusing on songwriting, I'm sure. Because you were very passionate about that last time you were here, about songwriting.
Well, I have a little more time.
Right.
I can practice the guitar. I can write a song. I can learn more about my recording software. Mm-hmm. I can learn how to record electric guitars direct with the incredible technology that's available that I never had time for. We can spend more time, Char and I, rehearsing. Char learning how to play the guitar, and by the way, she's becoming really very good at it.
Because I've had time.
Right.
And we're going to become a two-guitar, two-voice act. Even tomorrow at the Mason Jar in Lowell, she'll play a little bit of guitar. And one of my students, who I teach outdoors in my yard in the lesson canopy, will be make a guest appearance with us on the mandolin. And all of these things are kind of different.
So there is a silver lining.
Yes.
It's not one of choice, but there is a silver lining. You're making lemonade out of the lemons.
Yes.
If we don't find a silver lining and work towards it, what do we have?
Right.
I've mentioned to people close to me that I think that what we knew, and this line is in this song that we'll do today, you know, what we knew is gone. And will it ever revert back to what we're used to? I'm not so sure that's the case.
Boy, I sure hope it does. Well, let's play that song. What are we going to play? This is a new one you wrote during the quarantine.
Yeah.
And what's the topic of it?
It's called Mother Earth. You know, Char and I were sitting on the couch one night, and she just looked at me and she said, it seems like Mother Earth is really, really angry.
Yeah. We said the same thing. Alice and I were sitting there, and I said, you know, every 100 years or 200 years, Mother Earth kind of revolts against being taken advantage of.
Absolutely.
And purges of all the excess that we've got. And
absolutely,
it's sad to say, we're losing a lot of lives, but we're also an overpopulated world. So maybe this is nature's way of balancing the scale. So I'm looking forward to hearing this. Let's hear Mother Earth.
All right.
This is Eric and Char live on Lakeshore.
Mother Earth has had enough. We've taken all she'll give. We broke her heart, she got tough, changed the way we live. There's no amount of money that can satisfy the cost. We finally pushed her way too far. What we knew is lost. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. She had to teach this lesson, and as much as it may hurt, she knows that it's for our own good. Her will she must assert. Now we can live with our mistakes or insist to have our way. Kick and scream, stomp our feet, be the mischief of the day. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our from the fires in California to the quake in Kathmandu, the tornadoes in Music City. She's angry, yes, that's true. The destruction in Puerto Rico, the flooding across the plains, a worldwide fatal virus. We've only us to blame. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. Well, I remember watching baseball in the bleachers in the sun, with 30,000 screaming fans. Those afternoons were fun. And I remember hearing music and dancing on the lawn. I cherish those old memories. What we did then is gone. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. She'll be here forever to care for you and me. If we show her respect and love and set aside our greed. Mother Earth has had enough. We've taken all she'll give. We broke her heart, she got tough, and changed the way we live.
Awesome. Wow, does that strike home? Mother Earth is ticked.
She is. Yeah.
And we're the fallout for it. And, you know, and it makes sense. I mean, look at the history of the Earth. Every time there's been problems, things come along and wipe it out, whether it's dinosaurs or whatever. And, you know, there's just so many elements that Earth can provide us. And if we keep wasting them, there's got to be retribution.
Absolutely.
It certainly seems that way.
I mean, mankind is one of the most foolish animals on Earth.
And here, within a very short time, a few weeks, you know, with automobile traffic down,
mm-hmm.
and gas consumption down, things began to change in the atmosphere.
Right.
And if you've been on the highway recently, you know, everything's back up to full speed.
Yeah, we don't learn.
Doesn't seem like it.
You know, it's funny because they were saying, you know, the oil business, you know, we got so much surplus, we'll never be able to sell it off, and prices dropped. Within days, they were back to normal. What happened to that surplus? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm wondering. You know, there's always so many conflicting stories. And again, nobody has the real truth. I mean, everyone's talking out of the side of their mouth, including us at broadcasting. You know, I mean, nobody knows what's going on. We're guessing. We're guesstimating. We're injecting personal opinions. And I like it better when musicians inject their personal opinions into songs, because at least it entertains us as well as makes us think. It makes us scratch our head. And, you know, we were talking about the civil unrest of the 1960s, and that spawned the protest era of music. We had some incredible musicians, of course, Bob Dylan, Phil Oakes, the Old Town School artists that were out there.
Youngbloods.
Yeah, Youngbloods. It's like, I think we're going to see a resurgence of that. I think we're already seeing it. We've got another guest that will be joining us soon. In fact, we're going to play two versions of the same song. It's called $20 Bill. And I think you'll know what it's about. We'll get to that in just a bit. But Dan Navarro will be joining us in the second hour. He'll be playing his version to close out the show. We'll be playing that version. We've got Ellis Paul joining us, and we'll open the show with that shortly on the recorded side. Ellis will be joining us. Bridget Purdy will be joining us from California. We're going to just have a great show today. And Liz Mandeville out of Chicago is going to be calling in for a quick minute just to update us on what she's been doing. This is a show where I invite all, well, not all, but several of my favorite guests from throughout the years. These are working musicians, listeners. These are people that make their living full-time doing the arts, writing, touring. And this whole environment has crippled everybody from making a living. And thank you to those that that have been generous with the virtual tip jars and supporting music. And I am very pleased that we're starting to get out and see some live stuff. It doesn't mean to be careless. Like Eric was just saying, don't go full throttle out on the highways again, burning up all the gas and traveling and taking your mask off and thinking it's all better, because it's not. But that doesn't mean you have to stay cloistered in your basements like a mushroom. We won't even talk about mushrooms, but that's beside the point.
An indoor activity.
But you mentioned you're going to be playing at the Mason Jar?
The Mason Jar.
Not familiar with that venue.
Which is a restaurant in Lowell, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it opened just shortly before it had to close down.
Right.
Wow.
Well, they have a nice patio and a porch on the front of the building. And that's where we'll perform. And we don't know if we'll have five people in front of us or 30. But it's outdoors. It's on the porch. There's room for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The venue is encouraging people to bring lawn chairs, blankets.
Well, that's a good thing. I know they're doing that at Highland, too. I just did my first show. I had 80 bands booked for this year.
Yes, you
and
did.
I'm down to like 20. You guys were one of them that got bumped. And hopefully we're getting that new show back together. But I did a polka jazz event in downtown Highland, and we had about 80, 85 people show up. And they, again, it's a big outdoor park.
Mm-hmm.
They socially distanced. Their groups stayed together. But these were husband, wives, families. They were out dancing on the concrete apron there. And, you know, there was a few people saying, shame on you for not wearing masks or doing the show. When do you get to breathe again, so to speak? I mean, these are families that live together in their homes. If they want to dance, where's the harm in that?
None,
exactly. It's not like we're gathering all these strangers and throwing them into a cattle bin and saying, breathe on each other. These are husbands and wives and couples and moms and daughters that were out there dancing, having a good time. And it made my heart feel good to see that and to be a part of that. But, I mean, I'm not a big
that
polka music fan,
need.
But that's what we need.
It's what people need.
Mm-hmm.
That's happiness.
You have another song we're going to get to right now, and then we're going to get Ellis Paul on the phone. He is a traveling troubadour. Jose, would you see if you can get him on the phone while Eric and Char are going to be treating us to this amazing song? What is this one about?
Well, we're going to do a song called We Need to Learn to Love.
Okay.
And it focuses around me meeting an African-American kid in high school, becoming best friends, and down the road, you know, racism just leads to bad, bad things. And this was a violent end, and we need to learn to love each other.
Amen to that.
There's not much more to say.
Mm-hmm. You know Billy Shelton, don't you, from the Spaniels?
I'm not sure if I do.
84, 85-year-old bass singer. He's been around forever. We've done a lot of Black History stuff together. Billy put it in a perspective that was so simple. And he said, it's not the paint job. It's what's inside the car that matters. And I thought, what a great way to put it. It's not the paint job. It's what's inside. And on that note, let's play this song. This was newly written, inspired by all the protesting.
This is not newly
written. No. This goes back to your friend?
Yeah.
That's how old this is.
Well, no. It's not that old. But it's been written in the last year.
All right.
And, before the protest. You know, it's just crazy. When you get connected to spirit, the things that you can write, the things that you say, the things that you perform can be really amazing. And I wrote this thing before this current situation, and it was spirit doing the talking, apparently knowing what was coming up, you know. So this is called We Need to Learn to Love.
All right.
Before it's too late.
Eric and Char, live on Lakeshore, 89.1 FM. Ellis Paul coming up, Bridget Purdy, Dan Navarro, stay with us. It's all happening here on Midwest Beats.
I first met Jimmy when I went to high school. He was a black boy and I was all white. We loved the music, it's all that mattered. We told the old folks it'd be all right. We used to hang out and play the guitar. Drank lots of beer in his daddy's old car. Saw lots of shows at a club downtown. Went out and got some breakfast when the sun come around. No one was born here a racist. No one was born here to hate. We only know what we've always been taught. We need to learn to love before it's too late. We need to learn to love before it's too late. My mom and dad, they were raised down south. Never heard a hateful word come out of their mouth. Back in my hometown, the message I'd hear came from misguided souls full of anger and fear. No one was born here a racist. No one was born here to hate. We only know what we've always been taught. We need to learn to love before it's too late. We need to learn to love before it's too late. Sunday, heard there been trouble at the bus stop near the liquor store on Saturday night, where a broken old drifter was living a nightmare. He shot down poor Jimmy, then he took his own life. Jimmy left a mother, a sister, and a brother. The world kept on spinning, but my best friend was gone. He could have been president. He could have cured cancer. I cried and I cried, Lordy, it was so wrong. No one was born here a racist. No one was born here to hate. We only know what we've always been taught. We need to learn to love before it's too late. We need to learn to love before it's too late.
Wow. A lot of positive energy, a lot of good message in there. Got to learn to love before it's too late, and it's almost too late now. We need to get it together, people. This show is all about the power of music. Music is medicine. Music can cure things, and we need to cure our attitudes, our focus, our love. We've got to get back to where we need to be, and we got close, like we were talking about earlier, in the 60s. The musicians got on board. They had message songs. We had good leaders in the civil rights. We had good leaders in politics. They got to the table. Eventually, there was some violence, of course, We lived through it, but especially here in Chicago. But we got to that point, and things were moving forward. And somehow, it took a giant step back, and now we're dealing with that. The first song you gave us was all about Mother Earth rejecting and being ticked off and saying, I've had enough. I'm your mother. Go to your room. You know, I love that song. It's like Mother Earth has had enough of us, spoiled, rotten kids that we are. Oh, and that song, again, give the title, please.
We need to learn to love before it's too late.
Just like the song says.
And Mother Earth.
And Mother Earth before that. Our guests co-hosting here today with all of our different guests that will be calling in, Eric Lambert and Char. EricLambert.com is where you can find him. And don't forget, he's got the big show coming up. Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
Looking forward to that. Is that your first live show out in front of an audience again?
We did one a few weeks ago for okay. Leroy out in Porter.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But
was that attended well, or are people still skittish about coming out?
It was attended well.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I think people have, you know, they're tired of being the mushroom in the basement. Yes. They really are. I mean, we've got to get out. And socialism, well, that's a wrong word. Socializing.
Bad time for that word.
Socializing, I correct myself, is part of human nature. We need to be around each other. We need to learn and have that close contact. And right now, health-wise, it's not wise, but we can still be in the same room and still share music and sing and dance.
Fellowshipping is good.
What's that?
Fellowshipping is good.
Yes, it is. And on that note, we have, like I said, this show today is all about some of the guests I've had in the past that I have a lot of respect for that are out there and are full-time musicians who have been suffering because of COVID and being in the shelter in place. That means no touring, no concerts, no clubbing, no nothing. But they do have a lot of time. And a lot of them are working on songs and recording and planning ahead because we are going to get through this. Right,
Absolutely.
Eric?
Absolutely.
We are. You got to tell me that.
Yes. We are going to get through it.
Okay.
And we're looking for the silver lining, and we're going to be creative, and we're going to be positive. And whatever it is we have to do to flourish and whatever the new normal is,
mm-hmm.
is what we're going to do.
All right. Well, our next guest is on the phone. It's Ellis Paul. He is celebrating over 30 years now as a touring musician. Ellis has released 18 adult albums, some children's albums. He's a book publisher. He's written children's books. He's garnered many awards over the years. His 20th album brought him to this show about a year or so ago. And that album is called Storyteller's Suitcase, and it was in the top five albums on the Folk DJs charts. And I'm sure you're familiar with that because you've been on those charts as well. So let's welcome him on, Ellis Paul.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, good to talk to you, my friend. I'm sorry I missed you when you came to the record store and did that open mic with us. We're going to have to do that again sometime when I'm in town.
Sure, that would be great.
Today's theme, we've got our co-host Eric and Char. They are traveling, touring recording artists as well, similar to you and Dan. What's going on with you as far as the COVID thing? How has it impacted you on your day-to-day? Obviously, you're not touring. Are you keeping busy with the writing side, the recording side?
Yeah, it's mainly, producing content and doing some recording, doing live shows online. I started a Patreon page that, you know, it's like a subscription channel for my music and for anything creative I'm doing. So it's, you know, it took about a month to kind of get all of that up and running, but it's been going pretty well.
Now, the page is found at ellispaul.com. That's where you need to go, folks. You can become a patron, and you can hear his music. Now, we have a couple of songs that you had sent. California is one, and then the other, of course, $20 Bill. And it's interesting. I had not heard about $20 Bill, but I understand from our mutual friend Dan Navarro, who will be on a little later in the show, that this is a song that he says over 130 people have recorded this. So you are obviously one of them. Tell us about this song. You didn't write it. What made this song impact so many singer-songwriters that in their own right can write songs of importance and topical nature?
Well, it came right after the death of George Floyd. A good friend of mine, Tom Prasad Rao, was really impacted by George's death. And he's a great songwriter. He's been doing music for as long as I have. And he sat down and he just put it into language that made it easy for us to sort of buy into, like sometimes when topics are so big, like George Floyd, it just becomes too cumbersome to write. And then you hear this song that kind of pops that balloon. And what happened was sort of in a viral sense, you know, he put it up on Facebook, and then, you know, within a week I did a cover of it, and Dan did a cover of it. And then suddenly there was this tsunami of musicians that were, turning in versions of it onto the internet. So it was just a phenomenal thing to watch happen. And the song is just so beautifully written, and almost every version is absolutely gorgeous. There's no way you can not do the song justice, because it's so simple and profound at the same time.
Well, let's play that real quick. We'll come back and talk a little bit more and find out what you're doing post-COVID, what the plans are. I know Eric and Shar are going to do their first big show outside tomorrow. Let's check this out. This is $20 Bill. You're going to hear Ellis Paul's version of it now. At the end of the show, we're going to have Dan Navarro on. We're going to play his version as well. So you get to hear a different texture, different style of the same tune. But listen to the words, people. This is one of those songs that you really have to listen to feel. And we're going to talk about the lyrics, and we're going to talk about why these kind of songs are important after this. This is $20 Bill, Ellis Paul, on Lakeshore.
Calvary Hill, and some people die in the blink of an eye for a $20 bill. Some people go out in glory, yeah, with the wind out. Some get to tell their own story, write their own epitaph. Sometimes you see it coming, sometimes you don't know until you run out of for a $20 bill. Oh, brother, I never knew you. Now I never will. But I make this promise to you. This be our communion. It's time to break the bread. Do this in remembrance, just like the good book said. Sometimes the wine is a sacrament. Sometimes the blood is just spilled. Sometimes the law is the devil's last straw. The future unfulfilled, like the dream they kill for a $20 bill.
Wow. That song has a lot of impact. Eric Schar, your thoughts?
Well, it's a great song and a great performance by Ellis. But the description of being able to take that monumental event and put it into words and verse that are simple. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
It's a wow song.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought when I played it this morning when I heard it. I'm like, wow, that's got some impact. Ellis, you were the first to record that, correct?
I'm not sure if I was the very first, but one of the very first that I know of. But, you know, so many people have done it that it's hard to, like, draw the line of who was the first to jump on it. But Tom's version, of course, is the first, and his has had, like, well over 100,000 hits now, probably closer to 200,000 hits now. And then mine has several thousand. Dan's has several thousand. We have country versions, gospel versions, folk versions. You know, it's. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a polka version out there of it. So many people have fallen in love with it.
You know, maybe we need to get one of these indie labels to put out like a double album of the different versions.
Yeah.
And then, you know, have everybody waive the publishing or the performance rights on it and donate it to a cause. I just think something like that, that's a very, you know, George Harrison thing to do, I think.
Right, yeah.
By the way, we got chimed in here. Chad Clifford said he sends his regards and hopes you're doing well through all this craziness. He's listening.
Chad, out at Front Porch Music in Valparaiso.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I love Ellis. I'm glad he's on the show. Give him my best. I'm like, okay. So I just did that, Chad, just for you. Ellis, what's your thoughts on the streaming live videos? Were you a big purveyor of those? I know a lot of artists out here were doing it. Some of the national acts were doing it. And was it satisfying? And did it help keep the lights on, as Eric had said earlier?
Yeah, you know, I had been doing monthly streaming shows for the last seven or eight years on Concert Window, which was a platform that no longer exists. And since this has happened, I've, you know, developed a show. I'm doing one tonight on Ellis Paul Music and More. It's called Ellis Paul's Traveling Medicine Show. And I have a theme where, you know, it's generally something related to travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be songs about New York, songs about California, songs about Europe, songs about cars, taxis, airplanes, you know, Zeppelins, that kind of thing. Just as a way to, you know, get people out of the house. So, you know, tonight is the theme is story songs. We're going to Storyville and I'm doing Ode to Billy Joe and American Pie and a few other songs of my own that fall into that category, bring in a special guest for a few songs. And it's been successful, and, you know, that combined with my Patreon site is really paying the bills.
Now,
so I feel very fortunate.
Can the fans and the listeners link to all of this through ellispaul.com? Do you have links for all of these different visuals that you're doing?
I think there's a link to the Facebook page, but it's Ellis Paul Music and More if they're looking for it. Tonight at 7:30 is the show, and, you know, we usually have a few thousand people see it before the next week goes through, so it's been cool. You know, and it's a new paradigm. We're all kind of, like, wandering around, like, how do we do this version of us through a computer? And you know, I think we're all learning as we go, but I don't think we'll be the same when we get back. I think the whole world will be a different place. You know, how we make money, how we learn, how we express ourselves is going to be very different than before COVID.
Have you had the opportunity to perform live since the whole thing started? I mean, here in Indiana, I don't know where exactly you're at, but here in Indiana, it started moving forward again until, well, like yesterday, it's starting to slow down as far as the progress, not slow down with the COVID cases. But have you had the opportunity to get in front of a live audience at all? And if not, are you not ready? Or is it just the situation where you're at is not ready?
Well, you know, I haven't played in front of anyone live since March 15th. And I've canceled all my shows through the 1st of November. And we'll see where it is from that point on. But, you know, the main thing is that is do I want anyone from my audience to get sick? No. And do I want to get sick? And can I afford to be sick? Like, can I afford to, you know, when you go into these ICU situations, and if you're above the age of, you know, 50, mm-hmm. you're in that.
As I think we all are here.
You're here.
Yeah. And I just, I can't have that kind of devastation financially, not only physically, but financially in my life. So I am going to be playing it safe. I don't expect to be touring full time until fall of next year. And I am doing, however, a wedding this weekend. It's the first thing I've done. And I may do an outdoor thing or two before then. But other than that, I don't expect to be up with a normal schedule until fall of next year.
Okay. What has been the silver lining, if there is one? Eric and Char have played two songs that they recently wrote, one Mother Earth inspired by this craziness, and Mother Earth revolting basically against everything that we're doing wrong and teaching us a lesson. Have you had time to do any, well, obviously you've got time, but have you done any career retrospectives? Have you been focusing on writing? Because you are very prolific. You've got a wealth of stuff in your catalog. How have you used this downtime?
Well, the main thing I've been recording is these pop songs that I've been working up for the Ellis Paul's Traveling Medicine Show, and I'm going to be releasing a home studio version of some of those songs on my page next month. So, you know, in saying that, it's sort of been like, you know, Johnny Cash has a 100 songs that every musician should have, and he wrote them out and gave them to his daughter to learn. And I never had a chance to learn those songs because I learned how to be a songwriter by writing songs, not by learning other people's songs. Mm-hmm. So having this opportunity to go in and learn how other people use chord changes and language and melody, and it has been a real good teaching thing for me. So I'm developing as a guitar player, as an arranger, and as a songwriter by learning other people's songs for the first time in my career, and writing a little bit, but not much. The song California that I sent to you is the only song that I've written and recorded in the last week.
Okay.
But I want to get back to that once this album's done in August. I'll start in writing, and cause I'm going to need another record when this thing gets off the ground and we start touring again. I got to have something to sell at shows.
So. Right. Well, you had a relatively new album out with Storyteller Suitcase. That came out in I think it was early summer of 2019, and obviously you had about 6 months to promote it, and that's usually not long enough to get an album up and off the ground with when you're doing it yourself by being a traveling troubadour. Did that get shortchanged by the COVID, or do you feel that it got out there enough?
It did get shortchanged by COVID. Yeah, it's been frustrating. The record did very well, won a bunch of awards, but I didn't get to cover the entire country. Usually it takes about a year and a half for me to tour the entire country once or twice and hit all the venues that I play.
Okay.
And so obviously that was cut short in March. So, but you know, going online and hyping it has been pretty successful. So by the time I get back on the road, I'll want to move on to the next set of songs, I think.
Okay, it's interesting to hear how you use this time to go back, listen to some of the artists you admire, and learn how they did their things and practice guitar, because Eric Lambert, who's here with us, just said the same thing earlier before you came on, that he has been spending this time teaching himself new stuff on guitar and practicing. Right, Eric?
Yeah. You know, I finally have time to go back to what my first love in this business was, you know, being a guitar player and being as good at it as I can. And do you find, Ellis, that once you start experiencing some success and you get busy, that your rehearsal time becomes non-existent because you're in the car all the time?
Yeah, and even your back catalog gets ignored. I've got, 600 songs, and I was only touring with 30 in my head that were usable, and so not only am I being forced to learn my back catalog and to play effectively and teach myself how to play those songs again, I've been able to do these other songs by other artists. So it's that's the silver lining for me, and being, I think we're all collectively having to reassess, the way we were living versus the way we need to be living, the way we were taking care of each other versus the way we need to be taking care of each other. And so there's a lot of silver linings here. And fortunately, personally, the virus hasn't hit my inner circle of family and friends yet, but my fingers are crossed, and I hope the same for you guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Well, we're going to get to that song, California, that Ellis was just talking about, written by him during this downtime. And again, keep up with him at ellispaul.com. You can link to most of his events and things there. Video courses, teaching, updates, touring when it starts again, and the Patreon sites. Again, the point of the show is to let people know that these guys are out there, even though they're not touring like they did. They're not coming to your town. They are out there. They still are creating great art. They are the voice of our generation right now and their generation. We're all one, and this is affecting everyone. So the songs matter to us all, whether you're 12 or whether you're 112. And I think it's important that we keep that communication of music. As I repeat often, music is medicine, and we need to take a big dose. And that means all of these great artists we've got today and so many others, we need to pay attention. We need to support them. There's virtual tip jars. There's Patreon projects. There's all kinds of things that you can help. We are getting back a little bit to the normal side, just a little bit. And we need to keep it slow and keep the music coming. And Ellis, is there anything about California you want to share with us before we let you go and play it?
Yeah, this is one of the theme songs. I did a theme show on California, doing songs about California, and I had started this one many years ago, just sort of an improv thing I did at the Freight and Salvage in San Francisco, and I thought, well, maybe I'll finish that idea. So, the idea of the traveling medicine show is to get people out of their homes, at least in their heads, and so this is a song I wrote about California.
All right. Ellis Paul has been our guest, ellispaul.com. Stay safe, my friend. We'll talk to you again when this madness ends.
Thank you, Ellis.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate
Take
it.
Take care,
Thank
Ellis.
You. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, this is Ellis and his latest song that he was just talking about. This is California. You're going to take a little trip right now. On the other side, we're going to get Liz Mandeville from Chicago. We still have California's amazing blues singer, Bridget Purdy, and coming up in the next hour, Dan Navarro. So don't go anywhere. Keep it right here on Midwest Beat.
California, 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 you get the best of everything, the best of everything. Marilyn Monroe and the Hollywood sign, the Pacific Ocean, the finest wine, the Golden Gate and the sweet sunshine. You make it hard to be from Arkansas. California, 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 you get the best of everything, the best of everything. Avocados and the redwood trees, the Big Sur Highway in Yosemite, the Beach Boys singing in harmony. You make it hard to be from Idaho. Now I've got nothing against New Mexico, New York, Georgia, or Ohio. There's just a place I long to go. It ain't Idaho, I think you know. Thank you. California, California, California. You get the best of everything, the best of everything. Joshua Tree and the Grizzly Bear. Disneyland and Fred Astaire. Surfer girls with their golden hair. You make it hard to be from anywhere. Oh, you make it hard to be from anywhere. God only knows